It's good to see everyone here this morning. Glad that we are able to come out to worship God together. We have a card here from Ron Rosen, who's visiting here from Abilene. We're glad that he is here, and others that might be visiting with us, we're glad that you have chosen to come to be with us. Also, I got a quick announcement to me from the funeral the other day and a lot of other things. There's a whole lot of dishes building up in there, so if you have lost a dish, come and get it. And if you want to just take some, I guess some of them have been here a long time, and probably nobody would miss them if you took them home with you. John chapter 1, John chapter 1, beginning at verse 1, says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shined in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." We read that passage, we realize that all through the Bible, light and darkness as you are used as an example for right and wrong, for good versus evil, for truth versus falsehood, for God's way versus man's way. And that illustration is used all the way through from the very beginning. The Bible says here that God is light. And so God's message to the world is the enlightening thing that God wants us to receive and to believe and to obey it. So light is used all the way through the Bible, from the very beginning in Genesis all the way to the end, of the contrast between righteousness and goodness and light and darkness and all of those things as being the right thing before God. And so in chapter 1 of John, we find it is an explanation of God's nature, but also of Christ who came to this earth. God is good. His eternal nature is always there. And Satan's nature is dark and evil, and it wants to destroy every one of us. So there's always going to be, as long as the earth stands, this battle between good and evil, between light and darkness, between righteousness and evil. On the other hand, again, in John chapter 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. So we look at this and the idea of God's light to the dark world. Excuse me. When Jesus came into the world was in darkness, spiritually speaking, because mankind, generally speaking, had rejected God and all of God's way. If you go over to Romans chapter 1, the Apostle Paul describes there the sins of all the Gentile nations. And not to be outdone, in Romans chapter 2, he describes the sins of the Israelite or the Jewish nation. And he ultimately says in Romans chapter 3, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And so in John chapter 1 and verse 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Now, I don't think it's an accident that in John starts the book the same way that the book of Genesis starts, in the beginning. And, of course, in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 3, it says, "God said, let there be light, and there was light." Well, here in John chapter 1, John takes it a step further. And he says, not only was there physical light that God provided for the world and the universe, but now he's going to provide spiritual light in the person of Jesus Christ, that the light came into the world. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The term, the Word here, God gives it, and it's by inspiration that John used the term, but it is also a term used in both Greek and Roman philosophy, of a concept, an idea, not just one word that we speak, but it's a whole concept and then body of teaching and understanding. And so Jesus is the ultimate concept. He is the ultimate word of God, the ultimate message from God to man that became flesh. In John chapter 1, verse 14, it says, "The Word became flesh and dwelled among us. We beheld His glory, the glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." So, and also there was a legend in Greek and Roman mythology at the time. Sometime the gods that lived up on Mount Olympus or wherever they might have been at the time, sometimes they would come down and take on a human form and walk among men. And so Jesus was the ultimate fulfillment of that idea. Only this time it was not man's fantasies and ideas, but it was the true God in the person of Jesus Christ who came to this life to live among us, to ultimately give His life on the cross for you and me. And we, a while ago, partook of the Lord's Supper to commemorate Jesus' life, His death, His burial, His resurrection, the shedding of His blood, and all of those things in this Word that became flesh. And so not the gods, as the Romans and Greeks taught, but God came down from His level down to our level to walk among us. And not only so, He was willing to give His own life on our behalf. Now, we turn over for a moment to John chapter 19. In John chapter 19 and verse 7, we find here Jesus was brought before Pontius Pilate. He was arrested and accused, and they wanted to put Him to death. So in John chapter 19 and verse 7, after bringing Jesus before Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor, it says, "The Jews answered Him, 'We have a law, and by that law He ought to die, because He made Himself the Son of God.'" Jesus did not make Himself the Son of God. He was the Son of God. He is the Son of God. And so it wasn't that He made Himself that, but He made the claim to them, which was true. And because of that, they accused Him of blasphemy, to claim to be on an equality with God. Well, if Jesus had not been who He claimed to be, they would have been right. He would have committed blasphemy against God. But He was indeed God in the flesh. John 19, verse 8, "When Pilate therefore heard this saying, he was more afraid. And he entered into the praetorium again and said unto Jesus, 'From where art you?' And Jesus gave him no answer. But Pilate therefore said unto him, 'Do you not speak unto me? Do you not know that I have power over you and have power to release you or to crucify you?'" And so Pilate says, "I've got all this power over you. You need to speak for yourself or say something." Well, Jesus didn't do that. Jesus said, "You only have this power because it was given to you from heaven." And so Pilate did not understand the whole concept that Jesus Christ was in fact God walking among men. Now, in his Roman mythology and teaching and everything and idolatry, they believed that sometimes the gods would come down and walk among men. But Jesus was the real thing. He wasn't just the imagination. He was the true God that had come down. Him had come down to our level. The pagans thought, for example, in Acts chapter 14, when Paul and Barnabas had done the miracles of healing, they thought they proclaimed that they were the gods that had come down to walk among men. And the priest of the idol temple at that place where they were wanted to bring animals to sacrifice to Paul and Barnabas because they believed they were gods. Paul and Barnabas had to run through the crowd and tear their clothing in a sign of grief and protest to tell them, "We're not gods. We just did this by the power of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, the God who became flesh, the Word that became flesh and dwelt among us." So it says then in John chapter 1, "The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that had been made." Again, we go back to the comparison of Genesis chapter 1, where it says, the earth was created. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And it says the earth was without form or void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God dwelled over that and watched over it. And then the creation came into full being, as we read through Genesis chapter 1. So John is taking that and building upon it, and he says the same was in the beginning with God. So Christ, this Word that became flesh, was in the beginning. Also, he was one of the Godhead. And, of course, the Spirit also. And it says all things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that has been made. In other words, the physical and spiritual universe and everything in it, God created it. And Psalms chapter 119 and verse 105, the idea is brought forth that this God brought to us the understanding. And God's way and God's will is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path to guide us every day. Jesus was that light that became a human being and lived among us. The light of God and the light of God's righteousness came to dwell among his people. And of course, the Word is the essence of being God, of who God was and who God is and always will be. So he says, all things were made through him, and without him, not anything was made that has been made. The whole universe in which we live was created by the power of God. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 16, it says there that we are to hold forth the word of life. Well, how do we do that? We take the word of God, which testifies that Jesus Christ came in a human form, that God became flesh, that dwelt among us and lived among us, and we take that message to those who are around us. We live by it as best we can, and even when we fall short, which we were going to do, by the grace of God, we can be forgiven. But God came down to our level, so we're to hold forth this word of life, this message of eternal life, which Jesus gives to you and me. And so then we look and again back to John chapter 1 and in verses 2 and 3. He says, the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that has been made. Christ then is eternal and coexistent with God the Father. If you look over in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul in his writing there, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and in verse 6, he says there, seeing it is God that said, let light shine out of the darkness, who shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And in John chapter 14, Jesus was asked of his disciples, show us the Father and that'll be enough. Here, Paul answers that question. He quoted from the Old Testament, says, light shines out of the darkness, who shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. Well, how did the knowledge of the glory of God come? It says, in the face of Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, who came to dwell among us. Jesus was not a created being. Now, physically, he came to the world miraculously, and in that sense, we could say his physical body was created, but it was made from the dust of the ground, just like all of ours. But he was not a created being in the sense that we are. Because we are born into this world, God gives to us life spiritually and physically, but Jesus was already the eternal God. He was already the eternal Spirit. So he's not a created being. There are some people that say that Jesus was a great man and maybe the greatest man that ever lived. He was the great teacher, which he was. He was a great prophet, which he was. But he was much more than that. He was actually God who became flesh. It says all things were made through him, and all things were made by his power, and nothing was made without him. Everything that is in our universe was made by God, by his power. and by His strength and His wisdom and understanding. And so all things were created through Him and by Him. And John chapter 1 verse 10 says, "The world, He was in the world, and the world was made through Him. But the world did not acknowledge it." They could not conceive of the time when Jesus was brought before Pontius Pilate. They wanted to crucify Him. They were going to crucify the physical form of the God who became flesh for them to die on their behalf. Either if they didn't want to accept it, it was by choice, which part of that was certainly. And some just maybe they couldn't even have the idea come fully into the idea that God would become flesh and dwelt among men. But He did. It's the very thing that He did. We turn over for a moment to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1 concerning Jesus as He was upon the earth. And Colossians chapter 1, beginning there at verse 15. Colossians 1 verse 15. It says there, "Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation." So Jesus Christ in human form was the image of the invisible God. In other words, as He told His disciples, "If you've seen Me, you've seen God." Verse 16, "For in Him were all things created, in the heavens and upon the earth, things visible and things invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things that have been created through Him and unto Him. And He is before all things, and in Him all things consist." All things consist in God. The word "consist" there, translated from a word meaning to hold together. The physical and spiritual universe holds together because of Christ, because of God, because of their power. And if God decided to release that power for a moment, we would all die instantly, because He's the one that has it and holds it all together. So when the time comes for this world to end, for this universe to end, God only has to release that power and all would be destroyed. But He's given us the time and the opportunity to believe Him and to repent and come and follow Him. We'll go back to John chapter 1 and verses 4 and 5. It says, "In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shined in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." The light shined there. Jesus was the light of God to man. He is the one that gave them that opportunity to know God and to understand God's power. And life was there standing before them, the eternal life. John 14:6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by Me." There is no other way. We have to come to God according to Jesus through Him. There's no other way that we can go. We can't circumvent our way to God around Jesus Christ. It can't be done. Because Christ is the way that God promised. He is the way, He is the truth, the ultimate truth of God, revealed to man in His Word, and He is the life, the eternal life, which He gives to you and me. So life was and is the light of man, as it says there. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7 says, "If we walk in the light," this is the light of God, the light of Christ, "if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son," cleanses us from all sin. As we walk in His light every day we live, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from sin. And I've probably said this before, but I'll say it again, that it's not just a one-time thing. Yes, we believe and we're baptized into Christ, we're forgiven of our sins, but if we're faithful to God from that day forward, every day we live, the blood of Christ cleanses us from our sin. Now, we have to be willing to own up to it. We have to confess it, as chapter 1 of 1 John and verses 8 and 9 tells us. But if we do that, it says He is just and righteous to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16 says, Jesus said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." You know, we're to reflect the light of God. The light that we have is not our own. It's just like righteousness which we have is not our own. It's given to us because we believe and obey Christ. We let our light shine in reflection of what He has given to you and me. And every day we live, He says, "Lay your light so shine before men. They may see your good works and glorify your Father as in heaven." Well, what is required there of that? That we do what God requires, that we set an example for others around us. That's the light of God that we reflect in our service to Him. But also, this light, the Bible says, it shined in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Darkness is the absence of light. As the Bible describes it or uses it, it is sin. It is the absence of goodness and righteousness and all that brings good in life. That's what darkness is. And of course, it also comes because of an unwillingness to know and understand God and His will. It comes because of ignorance. Now, it may be ignorance that's not our fault. Maybe we haven't been taught something, and we can be ignorant of that way. It doesn't mean we're not intelligent. We just don't know. But in our time and in the way that we have access to the Word of God, we can't claim ignorance of what God wants us to do or what He wants us to believe, because it is provided right there for us. So darkness brings about ignorance of God and, of course, ultimate destruction. Also, darkness did not comprehend, or some translations say apprehend it. In other words, there's no understanding that they would stand upon it. It wasn't that they couldn't receive it, but they were not willing to do so. We have to have the will to learn and to study. That's why Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 2 to study, to show yourself approved unto God. It takes time, it takes effort. In Ecclesiastes 12, Solomon said that much study is a weariness to the flesh. Well, it is if we dig down and continue to study and to learn, but it's worth it. It's worth it because we will understand God's will and to follow it. Now, we go back to John chapter 1. We could read the rest, the in between verses, but you can read those. Go down to chapter 1, verse 11. It says, "He came into His own, and they that were His own did not receive Him. But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become the children of God, even to them that believe on His name." Notice it says, He gave them the right to become the children of God. He came to His own, but they didn't receive Him. But He gave them the right to become the children of God. Verse 13, "Who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." If we accept the opportunity to serve God, we're born again. Born again by the will of God, not by the will of man. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 5 tells us we are buried with Him, and it is through the working of God, not our working. We simply submit to what God wants us to do when we're baptized into Christ. The work is done by God because He forgives our sins and gives us the promise of eternal life. And so the religious leaders of the time, they rejected the opportunity. It says He came to His own, and they that were His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become the children of God, even to them that believe on His name. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, Hebrews chapter 11 tells us. But we have to be willing to believe Him, which is more than just mentally assenting to the fact that there is a God or that Christ was His Son. It means being willing to accept Him and obey the things He has commanded. So the people around Him, they rejected God and Christ. But it says in verse 13, or chapter 12, it says He gave them the right to become the children of God. And then verse 13, "Who were born not of the blood, nor of the will of man, or of will of the flesh, but of the will of man, but of God." are not born by God's will or man's will or man's teaching or man's ideas, but God's will and his teaching. You'll go over to John chapter 3, and Jesus talks about there where we can be born again when he answered Nicodemus when he came to Jesus at night. Nicodemus didn't understand. He said, well, how can I go into my mother's womb again and be born when I'm an old man? Jesus said you have to be born of the water and the Spirit. And so there is a spiritual birth that had to come about, which is believing and obeying Christ. We are born not by the will of man, but the will of God. Verse 14, he says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So there is set before us there God's will and God's word for you and me. Now, in Revelation chapter 22, we ask the question, well, who can come to God? Who can have this privilege? As he says there, as many as received him, they gave them the right to become the children of God. Revelation 22 and verse 17 says, whosoever will. Jesus did not come to die for the Jew or the Gentile, for people in the eastern half of the world or the western half of the world or the northern or southern part of it, or to one group or another group. He came for everyone. Every one of us, Jesus died on the cross for you and me. So the Bible says in Revelation 22:17, the last invitation given in the Bible, whosoever will, let him come and take the water of life freely. He says, the Spirit and the bride say, come. The Spirit is the Holy Spirit revealed to us in the Word of God. That's his message to you and me. And the Spirit invites us to come to our Lord every day we live and to live accordingly. It says, the Spirit and the bride say, come. Revelation 22. Well, what's the bride? Well, the bride is the church of our Lord, who are already part of the body of Christ, inviting others to come to God. So that privilege is for you and me and for everybody, whosoever will. In other words, no one will be rejected because of where they come from, what language they speak, what race or nationality or wherever it might be that the distinctions that people make among themselves. God doesn't do that. Every one of us can be saved eternally because of what Christ did on the cross. But we are to be born of God. Again, we go back to John chapter 3. And John chapter 3 and verse 3. And Jesus answered and said unto him, verily I say unto you, except you one be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except one be born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. There's not much gray area there. Either we do what he says or we don't do it. If we do it, we'll be saved eternally. If we reject it and don't do it, we'll suffer the consequences for eternity. So how did this come? This light come to you and me? Through Jesus Christ. He is our light. Again, we go back to chapter 1. Chapter 1 and verse 14 says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, the glories of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Verse 15, John bore witness of him and cried, saying, this is he of whom I said, and he that comes to me is become before me, for he was before me. In other words, John the Baptist acknowledged that Jesus was before him. In other words, he was a spirit being long before John the Baptist was ever born into the world. Verse 16, for of his fullness we all receive grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, the only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. Jesus Christ came to declare the light and the blessing of God to mankind. What do we have to do? Revelation 22 says, "Whosoever will, let him come and take the water of life freely." If we will do that, we will have the blessings of eternal life. But we have to make a decision. We have to follow Him. We have to follow His will. This morning, if you need to come, "Whosoever will, let him come, take the water of life freely." Come now if you need to.